There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for another great hour of live local talk. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You're probably not going to make the appointment over the weekend. I get it. Make the appointment for next week. You got the junk. It's a storage unit you pay on every month. You couldn't identify the first thing in there. Or it's junk in your home, your office, maybe the backyard, maybe... You got the trampoline and you got the playhouse, and your youngest child's in their 30s. Time to get rid of it. Let the grass grow. Get the junk gone. Use a friend of mine, Trey, doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Easy to set that appointment. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and that's when they show up. They quote your price and get to work and get it done. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, welcoming into the studio, AL Fines Congressman, candidate for Senate for the state of Alabama, Beau Brooks. Back in. Good to see you.
My pleasure. It's great to be here in person.
Yeah, get you down this. You've got an event coming up tomorrow we're going to talk about. But before that, I do want to...
We got rattlesnakes in between now and tomorrow.
Got rattlesnakes, too?
Rattlesnakes over in Op.
Oh, yeah. Is it Rattlesnake Festival time? I missed that one.
Well, we're
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, I'm not quite confident in my ability to actually handle them.
You're not going to handle the snakes?
No.
I do want to get into that.
I do enough dangerous things like serving Congress.
Well, that's what I was going to see. Which one do you think, if you had a choice, you know, rattlesnake handling or serving Congress, I think you made that choice.
If I had a little bit of training, it probably would be easier to be an op handling rattlesnakes, but to some degree, you've got rattlesnake handling in Washington.
I want to get into that analogy. I do want to ask you beforehand, though, check in with AL5 in the north end of the state. We watched what was happening near Birmingham. How's everything up in the northern part of the state?
In the northern tier, north of, say, the Interstate 20 corridor, we did all right.
Okay, good.
In the Tennessee Valley, I'm unaware of any significant injuries.
So it was
or
south
damage.
Of y'all.
It was predominantly along Interstate 20, a little bit to the south, say, when you're in Birmingham, and a little bit to the north as you get to Anniston. You know how these tracks go. They start southwest and then move to the northeast, and that's pretty much what happened here. But there was still a significant amount of damage, and it's amazing when you look at the photographs, as always with tornadoes, you'll have one house that's totally unscathed, and the house next door to it is just totally gone.
It's bad luck. Or, and you can't, I mean, there's things you can prepare to protect yourself, but protecting your property, I mean, it's God's will at that point.
No, there's nothing you can do against a strong tornado, particularly if you get one that's an F5. I'm not sure what these are going to grade out as, F1, F2, maybe an F3. And F5, it's a road grader.
It is.
Whatever's in the way is gone. When we had that outbreak back in April of 2011, you had fire hydrants, which really don't have much wind resistance.
Right.
And they're tied into by steel pipes to something that's about 6 feet underground, stripped away.
Y'all think about that.
Pavement
nothing really
on roads.
For the wind to even grab to, and yet it can pull it up.
Pavement on roads stripped away. That's what an F5 can do.
Unbelievable. It's a recovery effort's going on. It's good to know that the north part of the state didn't get it as bad as central Alabama. You're talking about the op event coming up, but then tomorrow, 4 o'clock, you're speaking, keynote speaker right here at the stand-up.
I am.
For Alabama rally.
On free speech?
Yeah, is it still a thing we can do? Free speech, we good?
Well, if you're willing to accept the kinds of punishments that the socialists are going to impose on you, then yes. And this is a scary time in American history where you're apt to have your job at risk if you speak freely what you believe, because the socialists will demand that you be fired or they'll put pressure on your company to terminate you. There are so many different ways that I use the word socialist intentionally. I'm not going to honor them by calling them Democrats.
Let's do this before we get...
Because they aren't Democrats.
Every time you're on with me, you say that, and then I get a bunch of texts or calls. So can you explain before... So we are frequently asked questions. So you use the term socialist Democrat or socialist. Can you...
Sure.
What's your reasoning on that?
Every one of my ancestors for a century was a Democrat. I'm the first Republican in my family. And the Democrat Party had some basic principles that were, by and large, consistent with what was in the best interest of the United States of America. There were differences of opinion on some of them, of course. What we have now is the Socialist Party of America having successfully hijacked the Democratic Party name. And by and large, the people who used to be Democrats, they have slowly but surely started switching over to being independents or libertarians or Republicans. But these people are socialists. And now, what is a socialist? That is a person who believes in a top-down society where the elitists are the ones who are smart enough to be able to tell us what we should be doing to protect ourselves from ourselves or from others. I'm one of those that believes in liberty and freedom. And liberty and freedom means that an individual can make that decision on his or her own as to what's in their own best interest. They don't need a nanny at the federal government level telling them, for example, what kind of light bulbs they can buy or not buy, or whether at the state level or city level, whether they should wear a mask or not wear a mask. If you believe in liberty and freedom, then it is the responsibility of the individual to make the decisions that that individual believes is in the best interest of himself or herself and their family. This nanny state stuff, I'm sorry, if that's what you don't want to vote for Mo Brooks for the United States Senate, because I don't believe in it. I have faith and I trust the American citizens, by and large, to do what is in their best interest, which in turn, I would submit, makes America a better place and a stronger place.
You mentioned that, the run for Senate, the announcement, and now going through the state, meeting folks. You're hearing what? You're hearing from citizens questions about what's like the number one? If somebody just walks up to you and says, Congressman, if you get to the Senate, what are you going to do about fill in the blank?
There is no number one.
Really?
There are about four or five issues that are scary. Socialism versus free enterprise. That's scary. If we give up the liberty and freedom associated with free enterprise and go to dictatorial mandates from the central government, which is socialism. Another one is deficit and debt. We're about to blow through the $30 trillion mark. Now, there aren't a lot of people who understand the significance of that threat, but those that do are scared to death. You've got the elections. Are we going to have honest and accurate elections? And that's kind of important because that's the underpinning of any republic. If you don't have honest and accurate elections, well, yeah, you can go vote, but your vote doesn't count for anything. Then you've got border security. What is happening on the southern border is horrific. It's costing American lives. So that's just four that I've named off the cuff that are extremely important to a large number of citizens.
Well, we talk about I would always fall. I've been ringing your phone for a long time talking about deficit and debt. And, you and I talk fiscal issues, gosh, for 8 or 9 years here on the show. But let's move forward and talk about.
When we first started talking, you didn't have any gray hair in your
brain. No, and you're right. Now I do. Now it's come in. It's all from deficit and debt. But I want to go to the election issue, because I think, obviously, agree with the necessity for our republic to run off of fair elections, honest elections. I see two problems, Congressman. I see making sure that happens and making sure people believe it. You could even fix it. And if the doubt is still there, that affects... I have people, since the election, since November, tell me, I'm never voting again. And I tell them, I think that's wrong. I think that's... But You got to fix it, and then you have to make people understand that you did fix it, and that's conquer that.
Well, it's going to be a tough challenge because the socialists are the ones who gain, and many of them hold office because of voter fraud and election theft. But it comes down to this. Please, everyone that hears my voice, we need you to be a player in the game. Because if we surrender, then we're guaranteed to lose. The only chance of success is for us to fight as hard as the socialists are fighting as they try to remake our country into something we don't want and we won't like. So please, I understand the depression associated with November, and I understand the depression associated with January the 5th when the Democrats stole one or two Senate seats in Georgia. But please, don't give up. Participate in our republic. We need your help right now more than ever. Our country needs your help right now more than ever. So volunteer. Make your campaign contributions. Heck, if you like me for the United States Senate, MoBrooks.com. MoBrooks.com. Very simple. MoBrooks.com. Sign up. Make a contribution. If you don't like me, if you prefer another candidate, if it's a Republican candidate, get behind them and help them. Please don't help any of these socialists because they're the ones who want to deprive us of our freedom and liberty.
So maybe people being... If I'm taking for this, if somebody is engaged in politics, maybe a better sense of them believing that the process can be fixed. I mean, because it's the fixing of it and then the PR campaign, Congressman, right? So people believe that they are going and voting and it's accurate. It's true.
We have made some strides. By way of example, this week, the Georgia legislature has closed some of the weaknesses, the loopholes in their election system that resulted in the debacle that we saw in Georgia and in Georgia on November 3rd and January 5th. We've got other state legislatures that are trying to strengthen the process. And let's be real clear, the goal of all this is to ensure that every American citizen who is eligible to vote can vote and that nobody else can vote. And it's that and nobody else can vote that the socialists disagree with. They want everybody in America to be able to vote. They want non-citizens voting. Doesn't make any difference if they're lawful immigrants, not yet naturalized. Right. Doesn't make any difference if they're illegal aliens. The socialists want all non-citizens voting. And how do we know that? Because in places that they dominate, that's what they've done. They've made it legal for non-citizens to register to vote and vote. The biggest such place is San Francisco, where all of a sudden now, American citizens in San Francisco, they don't have control of their own government because of the impact of non-citizens being given the right to register to vote and vote in their municipal elections. But that's what they want to do nationally, nationwide.
What about H.R. 1? People say, well, they got H.R. 1. Here we go.
If H.R. 1 passes, then I might be joining some of those folks who are depressed about America's future and whether we're ever going to have honest and accurate elections again. I've nicknamed H.R. 1 the Voter Fraud Enhancement Act.
Because for people who hadn't followed this, H.R. 1 is framed as a fix, right? This is H.R. 1 is what we're going to do to address these issues. And you're saying it's the contrary.
From the socialist perspective, it is a fix because right now the socialists are apt to lose elections if we make them honest and accurate. And they don't want honest and accurate elections. They want to win. And H.R. 1 puts them in a better position to win. It magnifies all of the problems that we have in our election system, starting with the elimination of voter ID, continuing with threatening poll workers with criminal prosecution if they err when they challenge somebody because of the belief that that somebody is not an American citizen and is not eligible to vote. If they... the poll worker makes a mistake, they might go to jail. So what do you think the poll worker is going to do?
If
he's
going to
let anybody and everybody vote. They're not going to risk going to jail.
Well, what happens if they err the other way and let somebody vote who shouldn't be voting?
There's no penalty under this bill for that.
All right, coming right back. More with Congressman Mo Brooks running for Senate. After he handles rattlesnakes in Op, he'll be here in Spanish Fort. Stand up for Alabama rally, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Spanish Fort Container Park. More of our conversation next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And Congressman and candidate for Senate Mo Brooks in studio after he goes and handles rattlesnakes, or at least is around it. He's going to be tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Spanish Fork Container Park, stand up. The free speech event, right? You're a keynote speaker at this. Yeah, you get a lot of headlines outside of Alabama for that. Get a lot of attention.
Well, depending on what I say,
yeah,
you might get a lot of headlines in Alabama and outside of Alabama.
Well, and one
I tend to speak my mind, which is good in some ways, but in other ways it subjects you to all sorts of attacks, particularly when they take them out of context.
Well, and that's a thing that is done a lot of times. And how many times have I had you on where I said, okay, here's the headline, Congressman, they're saying this, that, and the other, and you say, okay, well, Sean, look, here's the context of where it was. I mean, and then we'll talk about January 6th, that this thing that constantly, I mean, when it was mentioned yesterday, you're, you know, be on the show, I was inundated with things of, you know, well, I somehow having you on is supporting insurrection at the Capitol. So I want you to address that like you have with us before.
It's very simple. The socialists, the fake news media, have totally and completely distorted my remarks and put them in a false context for political gain. If you read my speech or watch it, and I encourage people to do both, carefully note what I ask people to do. I ask people to go to the United States Capitol and chant the words USA to show that they were patriotic individuals. That's it. Chant USA. There's nothing else in my speech in which I ask anybody to go to the United States Capitol and do anything. Now, there is one snippet of one sentence that they take out of a two-sentence paragraph and they distort, which is easy to do when you take only a part of a sentence, not even the whole sentence, and of course not the whole paragraph that is the setting. I, in my remarks, started talking about the 2022 and 2024 election cycle. And in order to emphasize that I was talking about beating people that we don't want in public office, and beating them at the polls, I better add that
right,
phrase.
Right, yes, make sure.
I took off my congressional sportsman's camo hat and put on my bright red Fire Pelosi hat, which was the rallying cry of the 2010 election cycle. So I switch hats. I've got my campaign hat on, Fire Pelosi, and I talk about the 2022 and 2024 election cycle in my first sentence in that paragraph. In the second sentence, I say, as such, which means, you know, we're keeping in context, we're in the election cycle. As such, today is the day we start taking down names and kicking. I'm going to use the word derriere because mm-hmm. my wife prefers that I use that. And the question becomes, whose names are we supposed to take down? We're supposed to take down the names of the congressmen and senators who don't vote the way we want them to vote on voter fraud and election theft. So today, that night, we're supposed to have a vote on voter fraud and election theft. Take down the names of those that you don't agree with, and then kick their derrieres when in the 2022-2024 election cycle. And the news media, they just take this.
Have y'all heard
snippet.
That? Have y'all heard the whole context? Is it for a lot of people? It may be the first time.
Well, I wish I'd brought my notes with me because I do have a copy of my remarks in the car outside, and I could read it to you. And to make things even more interesting, that first sentence, I'm not talking about doing anything to socialist Democrats. I'm talking about beating weak-kneed Republicans who are so soft that they're voting with the Socialist Democrats.
And this is, so there you go. There's it in context. We're going to come back from the break, talk more about this. Also, your campaign for Senate and the event coming up tomorrow. Reminder here, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if somebody wants to travel to OP, rattlesnakes hit the ground what time? We know?
I hope they don't ever hit the ground. I hope they're in some sort of container.
All right. Well, so just hitting the ground, just like the checkered flag for the rattlesnakes.
And this better not be like fishing where it's catch and release.
Coming right back, Congressman Mo Brooks, candidate for Senate here in the great state of Alabama. He's from the north end, but he's talking to us down here in Southwest.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And Congressman and candidate for Senate Bo Brooks in studio. Getting ready to do an appearance here tomorrow, 4 o'clock, at the Spanish Fork Container Park. He is the keynote speaker for that event. A lot of your questions coming in here. All right. Other than some people making jokes about politicians and snakes, that you should be know how to deal with snakes.
Hey, I make a lot of jokes about politicians and snakes, too, so I understand.
This is, okay, here's a question. You just mentioned weak-kneed Republicans. This texter, why does Congressman Brooks keep violating Reagan's 11th commandment and going after other Republicans that he disagrees with?
The answer is simple. When we have Republicans in charge of the House and the Senate and the White House like we did in 2017 and 2018, and we don't get the job done because our weak-kneed Republicans are unwilling to take the tough stances that are necessary to secure our southern border, to fend off the advances of socialism, to protect our election systems. Just go down the list. A big one is deficit and debt. If you're a conservative, a principled conservative, we have two battles. It's not one battle, it's two. The first battle is to make sure that we nominate a principled conservative to be the Republican Party standard bearer. The second battle is then to beat the Democrat or the socialist, as the case may be, in the general election. And don't for a minute think that because you nominate a Republican that you've nominated a principled conservative. This is particularly true with respect to how many of our Republicans in Washington are debt junkies. They don't care about a $30 trillion debt mark that we're going to blow through later this year because of a $2 trillion borrow and spend bill we just passed. A good number of our debt junkies voted for it. Look at the weak-kneed Republicans who, because of public pressure, voted to impeach Donald Trump when there was zero evidence that Donald Trump committed a high crime, a misdemeanor, treason, or bribery. Okay? Those are the standards in the United States Constitution. Yet some of our weak Republicans fell by the wayside. On border security, the weak-kneed Republicans who feel pressure from this special interest group or another and then vote for open borders, amnesty, and citizenship. That's what I'm talking about. We can't have them in our political party if we're going to be a principled conservative political party.
Now, that's not discounting probably the Republican that gets elected in a purple state or in the Northeast may be a little different than the kind of Republican gets elected in Alabama.
Well, if we're going to advocate our principled conservative positions and be successful at it, that means that we've got to have enough principled conservative senators and congressmen and presidents in order to pass legislation. And right now, while the Republicans had, in that two-year period, 2017 and 2018, the House, the Senate, and the White House, conservatives never had either. Now, we did have Donald Trump in the White House. I want to be clear. When I say either, I'm talking about the House and the Senate.
But now you're faced with a situation that it's all three in the hands of Democrats, and it's a wish list rolled out. Let's kind of go down this. We talk border a little bit. Also, I want to talk about Second Amendment. I mean, this push, it's the... The conversation should be, I think, just do you want to repeal the Second Amendment, right? That would be the Jeff talked to you about it the other day. Jeff Poor, he and I talk about it. It would be refreshing at least to get that out there, that there are people that just want to do away with the Second Amendment versus whatever the term is, common sense gun control, right?
Almost to a person in Washington, socialist senators, socialist congressmen want to repeal the Second Amendment. However, they're smart. They know they can't get away with doing it at once. So what they're doing is nibbling away, so that there are fewer people who exercise their Second Amendment right. Therefore, when the hammer comes and they repeal the Second Amendment, they'll be more likely to be successful.
Because the politics of it are not, that to me, that says they still, either through just their knowledge or polling, that there are still Democrats out there that are, that the idea of repealing the Second Amendment is not what they want, right? It's not, their audience isn't there for that yet.
Yes, there is a difference between what the socialist Democrats in Washington want to do and what the political landscape will allow them to do. The political landscape, by way of example, might be depicted by polling data. And so the socialist Democrats are going to do everything they can to repeal the Second Amendment so long as the polling data says they can push as hard as they're pushing.
Okay.
And what they will do is slowly but surely erode it to the point where it's emasculated, at which point they feel that they will have the political power and the public's consent to repeal it in toto.
The border. Let's talk about this. This situation currently, you mentioned it on the border. The idea of, there's plenty that want to just completely open the border, but they don't say that. They don't say, we're just going to completely open the border, but it's, well, we're going to let these people through because we have big hearts.
The Socialist Democrats are motivated by a lust for political power. And they know that every time they can get a foreigner into the United States, that that foreigner is much more likely to ultimately be a welfare recipient than, say, a household that does not have anybody in it except for natural-born American citizens. Now, you may ask, well, what's that relate to political power? Well, they know that the more that they can import people who are dependent on welfare and the quicker they can get them citizenship, the faster you've got a block vote of socialist Democrat supporters. And that's going to ensconce the socialist Democrats into power even more so. So that's where all that's coming from. The data is overwhelming that if they were to give amnesty and citizenship to the 15 or 20 million illegal aliens who are here, which is one of Joe Biden's key campaign pieces, then that block vote is probably going to go 70-30, 80-20 Democrat in the next election, and that means power. That's what it's all about. They don't care about the public policy of the dead Americans, and there are about 2,000 Americans who are dead each year on American soil at the hands of illegal aliens, according to federal crime data. They don't care about the 30-plus thousand Americans who are dead each year because of deadly narcotics smuggled through our poor southern border. You would think that those kind of numbers would make them sit up, because in 2 years, that's more lives that we lost because of our poor southern border than we lost in all of Vietnam.
Wow.
But they, to their credit, they have a laser beam focus on supplanting free enterprise, liberty, and freedom with dictatorial socialism, and they are advancing their agenda across the board on all fronts.
Right, as we wrap up, too, what can you do in the Senate to help defend Second Amendment rights? Can anything done in the House side right now, between now and the midterms, or what can be done going forward in the Senate?
Well, on the House side, quite frankly, the Republicans are like potted plants trying to stop a steamroller, okay? And the House side, whoever has the majority votes wins, ends of subject.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have the majority. Now, it's a small majority, but they're sticking together like glue. And as a consequence, they're just flattening us on every single vote, whether it be the Second Amendment, whether it be amnesty and citizenship, whether it be letting men pretend to be women in women's athletics. On the Senate side, instead of you being one of 435, you're one of 100. So just mathematically, you have a lot more ability because your vote is that much more important, particularly when it's a 50-50 Senate. They also have rules on the Senate side where you can trigger things like the filibuster. All of a sudden, you got to get 60%,
which
means Republicans can block. Yeah, of course, the Democrats are trying to do that. You also have votes on ambassadors, executive branch nominations, judicial nominations, and you can hold up those votes on those things, just one senator in the United States Senate, because the rules are different in the United States Senate. So in the United States Senate, you have a much greater ability to impact public policy and public opinion. And by the way, if you want a conservative, principled individual as your next senator, again, that's mobrooks.com, mobrooks.com. Sean, I apologize for just interrupting with that crass sales pitch on my part, but that's what you got to do as a candidate, okay? So mobrooks.com. Please help.
All right, as we will be talking to you again, obviously, very soon, but people can see you in person tomorrow here, Spanish Ford, at 4 o'clock, and if they want to make the ride to Op, they can go see the rattlesnakes tomorrow starting at 10.
Those rattlesnake lovers, yes, focus on Op tonight and tomorrow.
Congressman, thank you for your time. Thanks for being
here. My pleasure.